You know, in a hold of traditional Christianity, even in the past few years that I've been in the church life, we have heard so many different doctrines and teachings in the Bible, which definitely, I wouldn't say is wrong, and I wouldn't say is bad, but not everything is absolutely correct, because no one is perfect, and no God in an absolute way. It's absurd to say we have seen everything in the Bible. But in all those past years, I have very seldom heard an encouragement and a teaching amongst the saints to pursue the matter of holiness. We talk so much about, oh, we are partakers of the divine nature. But what kind of a nature is that? When the Bible talks about the divine nature, what does he talk about? God is powerful, almighty, creating power. What is God? Is his knowledge, his wisdom? What is the main aspects concerning God's divine nature? It is nothing but being holy and being righteous. God is holy. And that is why Peter said that in very clear way in 1 Peter chapter 1, be ye holy, because I, God, I am holy. Amen. I hardly heard that. You've been all around for some time, right? Yeah. Of course, not too many of you were in that background. But you know, talking about life, we mentioned, what kind of a life? What quality of life? So you can really see that holiness doesn't come by just reading the Bible or knowing the doctrine. You cannot be holy without the reality of that life. A dead person won't do anything wrong anymore because you're lying in the grave. But that doesn't mean you're holy. You're dead, but you're not holy. Right? And death, according to the Bible, is most defiling. It stinks and it breeds worms, and it's a terrible thing. Nobody physically would like to come near any dead person. That's why anybody who is dead, it has to be buried. You don't even want to see it. Right? But our fellowship in the church life, if it is truly living, must have the result of a holiness. In Hebrews chapter 12, I just turned there, our God is the Father of spirits, it says. And this Father of spirits will discipline us to make us holy. Without discipline, by the Father of the spirits, we will not become holy. Holiness doesn't just come from teaching, but it comes from a lot of dealings and disciplining. It says here, so that we may be partakers of his holiness. Let me just read it here again to all of you. Furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us. If no one corrects you in the church life, you won't be holy, right? And we paid them respect. That means we receive their correction. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live, become alive? For they, the earthly father, indeed for a few days chasten us as seem best to them. But he, the Father of the Spirit, is for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. I really appreciate that very much. Now, if God our Father never disciplines you by life, not by beating, okay, not by breaking your neck or your arm or whatever, right? Our God is very wise in dealing with us. So it says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. He's talking in principle. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You know, righteousness and holiness are two qualities that are very close to each other. So then, let me jump to verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So holiness is a wonderful quality that comes from the divine nature. So if you kept on saying, oh, we are partakers of his divine nature, but your life is so unholy, I don't know what you're partaking of. No. I would rather be holy than to have a lot of head knowledge in my head and thinking I know something. To be holy is something that is well-pleasing to God. It is his very nature. It is his very nature. The life that we receive is a life full of holiness. It has the quality of holiness. So we have to appreciate this in the church life. Amen. Don't appreciate capable people. People who can speak well, but you should appreciate brothers and sisters who pursue to live a holy life. This is important. This is important, and this is precious in God's eyes, and this is what God is after. We must be holy. This is not just a request, it is a command from God. Be holy, for I am holy.
Amen.
And while we are dwelling in the book of Ezekiel, seeing the final building of God in a millennial kingdom for the people of Israel at that time, the whole principle is a principle of holiness. Because God who dwells there is a holy God. I have never felt inwardly so touched by this matter of holiness, more so than when I enter into the Word in Ezekiel. You can see layers upon layers upon layers before you can reach God. Even in the Old Testament days, in the tabernacle, the place where God dwells is called the Holy of Holies. There's a difference between holy and holy. The holy place is not even holy enough for God. It has to be the Holy of Holies. So, if you think you're holy, before his presence, you're not holy enough. That is why in the Old Testament days, the whole Bible shows us no one can enter into the Holy of Holies and live because of our unholy nature. So today, this matter is not a rule or regulation. I don't even know how to explain it. It is the life. That is why I fully agree. It's not just a teaching giving a list of this left side of the list is unholy, the right side is holy, this side is common in the right side, and if you go down the list, then you're holy. I wish it were that simple. Alright. But definitely, already according to our human understanding, we still do a lot of things that we know are unholy. We still do it. Right? So we definitely should take the word this morning Without this life and without the Spirit, you can know the doctrine, which may help. But the teaching itself cannot make us holy. It is the living God himself. And what change, Paul, was his encounter with the Lord. With the Lord. So may the Lord really help us.
Amen.
At least to give us inwardly a desire to be holy as he is holy. Because finally this will be the most important factor in our life. And may the Lord help us.
Amen.
Because this is the kind of teaching that a priest should help the saints. Not a lot of knowledge and instruction, but to help us to be able to discern what is holy, what is not holy. What in the eyes of God is clean and what is unclean. What is as a mixture of so many terrible things. There are so many things today that are unholy and full of mixture, really. You know, dead, inorganic, no life, a lot of chemicals, yes, additives, coloring, to make it look the right color, but it's not the original color. It's not out of life, it's out of chemical. And taste, flavoring. Oh, they can make it, it tastes like mangoes, but it has absolutely nothing to do with the living mangoes. Yes, for the sign of flavor. Yeah, they can produce any flavor you like and any fragrance. But these are all chemicals. These are not real, not living, not organic. And people are very capable of doing that. No, you know, it's a parallel world. There are many fake things that are not real and yet look very real today. And if you are not in the Spirit, you cannot tell the difference. Right? Suppose it is a fake flower with even the texture look alike and even the fragrance and all that is there. Can you tell the difference? No, but a bee, a simple bee that's alive, can tell the difference. So, because that's the bee life. So, if we are not in the Spirit, if we don't live by Christ, there is no way for you to discern. So, you cannot just teach people how to discern. How do you tell something is living and something is dead today spiritually? How come when there's so many people who went to listen to this and that and sat there, wow, they thought it was wonderful, but when you go there, you thought it's dead? I always love to give that example when Sharon was hardly 3 years old. We went to Canterbury. To that cathedral. Oh, we, the adults, always thought, wow, wonderful architecture. So beautiful. And wow, this is history. So when we were there, I took Sharon by the hand. We were going to, we're tourists, right? And Sharon refused to enter. And he told me in German, there's this tour here. That shocked me. A 3-year-old girl telling me there's death here. I was really shocked. And I had to agree with her. I said, yes, let's get out of here. Turn around. Anyway, then me, I was pondering at the time, how can a 3-year-old little girl knew and told me it is death here? Now, where did she get that concept? I still didn't know where she got it. Maybe she got it. But there must be a sense.
Yes.
But we, who are already a program tourists. You know, we don't sense it anymore. We say, what's wrong? Well, let's go and take a look. So, how are you going to discern when somebody's sharing something is dead or alive? The majority didn't have any feeling. But if you're a person who is alive and you're living in the spirit, immediately you sense there is no life. The words may sound right, but it's dead. So, this is something so hard for you to teach people. The only way it is, I agree with you, by the Spirit. So if you're not a person who learned to live by the Spirit, you cannot discern. For you, everything is the same. So what's wrong? They're teaching the Bible. We're teaching the Bible. Everybody's teaching the Bible. So what's the difference? The difference is something that is dead and this is alive. But if you don't know the Spirit, you cannot tell the difference. Absolutely not. It's not possible. So may the Lord help us to be those who live by the Spirit.
Amen.
Who is all the time in the atmosphere and environment of life. If you are in the environment of death all the time, like your brother, you'll even joke about it. You'll even joke about it. For him, it's his daily bread. And his job, and you are past, a past feeling. You don't feel it anymore. Well, we shouldn't be like that in the church life. I can testify to you, in the last 40-some years in the churches, many who, after they came to the church life, they went back to where they came from. They were surprised. How come I didn't see that before? How come I didn't sense it before? That's death here. Why was I here before I didn't know about it? Until after they came into the house of God and tasted life, then you will know. If you've been breathing fresh air all the time and all of a sudden you go to Beijing, you go. But if you've been Beijing all the time, you won't sense it. You think the air is okay, what are you complaining about? You know, many years ago, before, in East Germany, there was still East Germany, we went to Dresden, I think. Yeah, I think we went to Dresden. It was Chemnitz now. Chemnitz. It's Chemnitz. It's still called Chemnitz today, right?
Right.
Yeah, we went to Chemnitz with Hans Günther Wolf and Marian. We drove there. I tell you, we couldn't stay there. The whole city smells like coal. When the air smells like coal, and it's all black. We didn't spend the night with them. Just, I said, we cannot stay there. But for them, they have no choice. They live there, and they're so used to it. But for us, you go there, and my goodness, you just can't stand it. So if you're in the atmosphere of life, in the atmosphere of the Spirit, then all of a sudden you go somewhere that's dead, and there's no life. It's so easy for you to discern, and you won't be able to stand it. You won't be able to stand it. Just like when the Lord Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, the whole atmosphere of Judaism was dead. But nobody sensed it until the Prince of Life came, and all of a sudden everything was exposed and it was dead. A dead religion. So, it is very important to live and walk by the Spirit, then it is not just that you have a list, oh, okay, if you see this thing that's dead, and if you see that thing that's alive, or that's holy, this is unholy. Yes, in the Old Testament, yes, there's the law. The law tells you this is right, this is wrong, this is holy, this is unholy, clean, unclean. You eat this, you don't eat that. There's clean animal, there's parted hoof, there's not. You have a list, yes, in Leviticus. But in the New Testament, we don't. Because it's now not just holy and holy. The whole holiness has something to do with divine nature, which is now the Spirit that dwells in you. So if you're not in the Spirit, how are you going to tell the difference? In a church life, you don't see a list there down there on the walls. But the Holy Spirit is much more than a list. The Spirit of life indwelling you. With that Spirit of life, and if you live according to that Spirit, you don't need a list. There's no end to the list. So you will know, because the Holy Spirit will tell you this is dead, and you can sense it. So wonderful. That's why in the church life it is, in a way, simple. But another way, if you don't live by it, it becomes complicated. Then you'll have to all the time asking, and then, may I do this, may I do that. Right? So, anyway, we have a tough time in the church life, because it is not so simple. It's something that is alive, something that is living. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.